Hi, you are listening to All Law, an audio series by Lakshmi Kumaran and Sridharan Attorneys, a leading Indian law firm. At the firm, we are proud to design practical legal solutions for our clients by combining legal knowledge with extensive industry and technology experience. This podcast series is a part of our knowledge sharing initiative, where we discuss notable legal developments and analyze their business implications. My name is Devesh Aswal, your host for this episode. Today, we will have a discussion on cross-border share sale, eligibility for tax treaty benefit. But before exploring this topic further, let's get into some basic information about the topic. With an increase in FDI opportunities in India, cross-border transactions are showing an upward trend. These transactions include cross-border share sale purchase transactions, wherein the existing foreign investors are selling off their investments in Indian entities to other residents and non-residents. In the hands of such foreign investors, amongst other questions, one of the key aspects is the taxation of capital gains on the sales of shares in India. The benefit under the tax treaty is subject to provisions of general anti-avoidance rules enacted under the domestic law and the principal purpose test embedded in the tax treaties. Under both GAAR and PPT, the benefit of tax treaties should be available only for transactions having commercial substance. Though both GAAR and PPT are relatively new, the courts in India have been applying judicial anti-avoidance tests existing prior to introduction of GAAR. In this podcast, we will cover the jurisprudence and the key issues surrounding the applications of GAAR and PPT. Now, I will invite Ms. Neha Jain to guide us through this topic. Hi Neha, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Devesh. How are you?
I'm fine, Neha. Thanks. So, Neha, what have the courts in India observed while analyzing the application of judicial anti-avoidance tests in India?
Devesh, in the renowned case of Bid Services Division, Mauritius Limited, the High Court of Bombay decided upon granting benefit of India-Mauritius tax treaty in the case of transfer of shares. In said case, at the time of acquisition of shares of Indian company, group company of taxpayer was involved in bidding process. However, just 2 weeks prior to the acquisition, the taxpayer was incorporated who purchased shareholding interest in the Indian company. The fact about incorporation and the introduction of the taxpayer was informed to the government authorities involved in the bid evaluation process. In said facts, the court granted treaty benefit to the taxpayer. The court noted that the concept of denying treaty benefit to shell entity as specified in the limitation of benefit clause in tax treaty is applicable from 1st April 2017. Accordingly, the same cannot be applied for cases prior to that. Also, the court observed that where entire bidding structure as well as the bid has been evaluated by government authorities, taxpayer cannot be considered as a sham entity. The court also noted that creation of taxpayer 2 weeks before the submission of the bid does not appear unusual or suggest that the same was to defraud the revenue or and perpetrate any illegal activity, especially when government authority had permitted the use of such SPV.
Okay, understood. And how have the courts in other countries applied GAAR in the cases before them?
So, Devesh, the court analyzed the main object behind undertaking the relevant transaction. In the case of Alta Energy Luxembourg, SARL, the Canadian Supreme Court answered this question negative. In the facts of this case, the taxpayer was incorporated in Luxembourg. A Delaware limited company sold the share of the group company, that is Alta Canada, to the taxpayer, and the taxpayer in turn sold those shares to another company in Canada. The latter sale of shares got tax exempt under the treaty entered into between Canada and Luxembourg. Admittedly, the taxpayer did not conduct any other business or held any other investments following the transaction in question. The revenue invoked GAAR and rejected the treaty benefit in the hands of the taxpayer. In the set of facts, the majority bench of Canadian Supreme Court allowed the benefit of Luxembourg-Canada tax treaty to taxpayer by observing that if a drafter intended to limit the benefit of the treaty based on the economic benefit, they would have signaled their intention. It is noteworthy that dissenting judges held that GAAR vest upon the courts the unusual duty to look beyond the words of applicable provisions to determine whether transactions in question frustrate the underlying rationale. The court also observed that the taxpayer had no genuine economic connection with Luxembourg, as it was mere conduit interposed to avail the tax exemption, which frustrated the rationale of relevant provisions of the treaty and therefore should not be allowed treaty benefits. So, in the case of NetApp Denmark APS, the Danish Supreme Court was posed with the question of whether treaty benefit should be allowed to an entity that has been demonstrated to have been created with the main object to take benefit under the relevant treaty. In the facts of the case, admittedly, NetApp USA created an entity in NetApp Cyrus to route dividends from NetApp Denmark without any tax withholding. The Honorable Court held that NetApp Cyprus was a pass-through entity, and since NetApp USA was a beneficial owner of the dividend income, NetApp Denmark was required to deduct tax at source.
That was very informative. Coming to our next question, whether in every case M&E Group invests in India through the SPV route, should the tax treaty benefit be denied?
Divesh, the fact that an SPV with no other business invests in Indian company is not sufficient to hold that treaty benefit should be denied. It is quite common in multinational groups to set up investment holding companies and invest via said companies. The objective in such cases can be to separate the investing activities from the operational activities of the group, manage investments, and obtain the benefit of lesser compliance in SPV country. Therefore, there can be good commercial, administrative, regulatory rationale for investing in India via SPV structure. All the factors must be evaluated in totality before concluding on the applicability of anti-abuse provisions. It is also important to understand the object and the purpose of tax treaty. For instance, if tax treaties provide for specific anti-abuse tests, but the case at the hand does not attract the said provisions, then treaty benefit should be granted. In such cases, it can be reasonably said that the object and the purpose of the treaty was to grant the benefit.
Now, are there any final takeaways from our discussion?
Divesh, from the earlier discussion, it is quite evident that there is a lot of uncertainty surrounding the application of anti-abuse provisions on cross-border share acquisitions. A lot is left at the mercy of how the court look at the facts in each and every situation. One will have to wait and watch as to how the Indian courts will apply GAAR and PPT. The M&Es must prepare themselves for the tussle by ensuring that there exists backup documentation to justify the commercial rationale for an arrangement.
And now we'll put this episode to a close. Thanks a lot, Neha, for helping us in demystifying this topic. I hope you have enjoyed this discussion.
Yes, Divesh, it was a pleasure to be a part of this conversation.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this series. We would love your feedback, comments, and questions about the episode. You can write to us at podcast@lakshmishree.com to know more. For future episodes, you can also suggest topics you'd like to hear more about. Check out our website www.lakshmishree.com, linked in the episode description below, to keep abreast of relevant legal updates before you join us next week.